The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio, episode number 207. It's an emergency episode of the podcast because we got something to talk about. With me, as always, your friend and mine, Jason Linden. How are you, Jason?
I'm well, and I'm pleased that the thing that we have to talk about is that the rest of the league has agreed and declared the Reds 2018 World Series champions.
Oh, boy. Now, listen, you're optimistic, but that is off the charts. Come on, Jason Linden. That didn't happen.
No, that didn't happen.
We did have some news today, though, didn't we?
We did. The Reds traded Devin Mesoraco to the Mets for Matt Harvey. And somewhere, an angel got its wings.
Is that what happened?
I must have missed that.
Though. It did, yes. Jason's right. The Reds acquired right-handed pitcher Matt Harvey from the Mets in exchange for Devin Mesoraco. And
I want to interrupt you real quick and just make sure that everybody out there heard the air quotes when you said pitcher. Matt Harvey's name.
Former pitcher Matt Harvey. Formerly good pitcher Matt Harvey. In exchange for Devin Mesoraco. Now, just to sort of reset everything where we are, Matt Harvey had recently been demoted, designated for assignment. He refused the assignment to the minor leagues, and so he was Mets either had to trade him or release him, basically. And so the Reds worked out a trade for him. The Mets are going to pay Harvey's contract for the rest of the year, a little over $5 million, I believe. He's a free agent at the end of the year. The Reds are paying Devin Mesoraco's contract through the end of the year, which is, I think, $13 million, I believe, in the last year of his four-year contract that he signed with the Reds after that brilliant 2014 season. And it's sort of a case of two players who had really promising starts to their career before it crashed all around them for different reasons. Well, similar reasons, but also much different reasons, as we'll, I guess, get into a little bit. Sort of trading places. Now, Jason, I know that you were less than enthused. Well, I don't think anyone's enthused about this. I'm going to kind of give it a tepid defense of it later, but no one's enthused about it. But you were, I think your first reaction was a negative one. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it seems there are two possible feelings I can have muster about this trade. And one is that it's pointless and the other is that it's stupid.
Wow. When you're hoping for it just to be pointless and not stupid. Ouch.
Yeah. What? I don't understand, Chad.
Yeah. Okay. Let's look at it this way. What's the point? I mean, really, Matt Harvey has not been good in many years. He had Tommy John. Now, he was great in 2013, finished fourth in the National League Cy Young Award voting. Three straight years, I think, with a sub-3 ERA, you know, a star of when the Mets went to the World Series, you know. But since then, he had Tommy John surgery and then various other things. And he's been bad. So why give Matt Harvey... And we're presuming here that he's going to go into the rotation in Cincinnati. Why let him take the spot of, well, anyone?
I don't know. I'm plummet.
You're not giving much here, Jason.
It doesn't make any sense. He sucked for 3 years.
Yeah.
If I squint, I can see that his XFIP is about league average-ish. That's something, I guess.
Okay. Here's my here's my defense of it. And when I say defense, I'm not really necessarily defending, because if I'm in charge, I don't make this trade. But I don't really hate it. I'm going to be honest with you.
I mean, I can't muster the energy to hate it. It's like, what's a good metaphor that won't, like, offend someone?
Listen, like, this is the internet. Someone will get offended by everything you say.
It's like, well, you know the saying that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Now, I think that's a topic for Red Leg Nation Radio, just about the Reds as a whole.
Yeah, it might be.
We love the Reds. We've loved the Reds for many years. We don't hate them now, but I'm quickly becoming indifferent to this team.
I also am indifferent to this team. You know, actually, this is, I think what's perhaps most frustrating about this trade isn't that they made it, but it's that the struggle has been what it's been, and then they do this.
Yeah.
It was like, really, this? This is what you've got? Like, you couldn't even get them to pay a little bit of Mesoraco's salary? Like, what? What?
Yeah.
In the off season, you couldn't afford to, you couldn't manage to add anybody of quality, but hey, here's the bloated corpse of Matt Harvey's arm.
Oh, the bloated corpse.
It's fans. I don't.
Okay. I feel like we're just sort of talking about the trade and then just exhaling, just deep sighs. My thing is, I don't think Harvey's going to steal an opportunity from any young pitcher. I really don't. And I think that's probably a comment on the way I feel about the way the current front office has constructed this Reds roster and their unwillingness to improve the Major League roster. This smacks of a Jim Bowden taking a flyer on someone back in the day, that never worked out, or rarely. It worked out. Pete Shurik worked out and no one else. I dropped a Pete Shurik on you there, Jason.
Great picture in Reds history.
Yeah. So, but here's my thing. I don't think we got to start there. I don't think he's taking any starts away from any young pitchers except possibly Brandon Finnegan. And I'm on record as saying Finnegan needs to be starting in Louisville anyway. I don't see the Reds ever starting Amir Garrett again. And that's just sort of my...
Which is a whole different kind of depression. This really actually, I think, kind of confirms that.
I think it might. And I think that's probably all of my frustration with this trade lies there. It's really just in the frustration with the way they're handling Amir Garrett. If I'm running the show, Garrett's in the rotation today. If you want to trade for Harvey and put him in the bullpen, whatever. I don't care.
Think about what this says, actually. This says, we would rather try Matt Harvey in the rotation than Amir Garrett.
Oh, yeah. That's what it says.
That's stupid.
We always say the Reds know things we don't. I just think they've all made up their mind that Amir Garrett's a reliever. Garrett wants to be a reliever, and they think he's going to be the closer after they trade Iglesias.
Yeah, I still think it's stupid.
Oh, I do too. Absolutely. I mean, I take what Garrett wants to do into consideration, and he has said, not really strongly, I definitely want to be a reliever, but he said he likes being a reliever. I take that into consideration, but you just cannot tell me that it's not worth giving him a shot in the rotation to see if he can be a starter. If he can't, okay. Put him back in the bullpen. What's hurt? It makes no sense to me that he's the only one of these young pitchers that can't even get a nibble. And so that combined with what we see here today makes me believe that Amir Garrett will never start another game in his life. He may start like a slow pitch softball game when he's 56 and he's playing in some beer league. But he'll never start a Major League Baseball game again. That's my opinion. Please tell me I'm wrong.
I can't tell you you're wrong. I'm not. Though, do you want me? I just had a thought. Would you like me to see if I can blow your mind?
Oh, man. Yes, please, Jason Linden.
So everybody's talking about trading Iglesias, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amir Garrett keeps pitching out of the bullpen like he has been, what would he bring back?
A lot. The only rationale for trading him is actually similar to the rationale for trading Raisel Iglesias, which is that if you think they're just relievers and other teams overvalue relievers and they're both cheap and under team control.
Because Garrett is real cheap.
Really cheap. And, well, they still got 4 years left, right? Something like that of team control.
I think probably five.
Yeah. So, I mean, but again, that irritates me because he's a young guy that's cheap and under team control and talented, and that's who you need to have on your next good Reds team if you think it's going to be any time in the next decade, which who knows if it will be.
I agree. Yeah. I don't really care about this trade except for what it says about where the Reds are with Amir, which irritates me to no end.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's the hope here? It's got to be that they, like, flip Matt Harvey at the deadline, right?
Well, yes, and that's what I was going to get to. Absolutely. That is the only upside to this, the possible upside.
And I guess, you know, they're squinting and looking at his peripherals and seeing that, well, maybe his results have been kind of unlucky and okay. I guess I sort of can buy that, maybe. But, man, that dude has lost like 4 miles an hour off of his fastball. I have so much skepticism, Chad. I have so much skepticism. It's like...
I agree. No, I do. I agree with all that.
It's like somebody invites you over to dinner and you get there and find that they are serving you McDonald's that they got like 2 hours ago. It's like, I mean, I guess I can eat this, but why would anybody give it to me?
All right. I just as soon stay at home.
Yeah.
I guess the reason why I don't get worked up over it is that,
by the way, everybody, Chad only serves cold McDonald's if you go to his house for dinner.
It's just true. So you know. It's true. Every night. Yeah. The reason I don't get worked up over it and why I think that I can sort of squint and see where the Reds are going with it is this. Presumably the Reds see something. I don't necessarily see it. Presumably they do see something they think they can fix, or there's something in the, I don't know what they see, but presumably they see something. And if you take it as an assumption that they're not, that they have no intention of using Amir Garrett in the rotation, which I think based upon the available evidence, I don't think that's out of the question. So if they're not going to use Garrett in the rotation, the only person that Harvey might be blocking, the only person he might be taking starts away from is Brandon Finnegan. And I just got to tell you, I can't get too worked up over the possibility that, you know, he steals 9 of Brandon Finnegan's starts between now and the trade deadline. I mean, right, that evaluation is colored by the fact that I think they're treating Amir Garrett incorrectly. But if we assume that they are and that they don't intend to use him, okay, they give Harvey some starts. If it works out, there's no question that if he shows any kind of a flash of his old self, and I agree, there's not a whole lot of reason to think he will. But if he does, exactly, if he does, then he's more valuable as a trade chip at the deadline than Devin Mesoraco was ever likely to be. And so that's the upside. If he's not as good, if he doesn't do anything, if he stinks, he's the same Matt Harvey, which he probably will be, what have they lost? I mean, they were going to be paying Devin Mesoraco's salary anyway. So, you know, I think it's really a no-lose situation. It's probably a no-win situation. I think it's more likely a neutral one. But yeah. I think I saw somebody say it's sort of a lottery ticket. And I guess if you look at it that way, I can buy it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It just, I just keep coming up with the worst possible metaphors. But it seems to me that the Reds have just voluntarily decided to go shovel somebody else's stable. And someone else has volunteered to shovel theirs, and the piles are equally large. I just don't understand.
Yeah. And plus they're serving McDonald's or something. I don't know.
Yeah. There's, it's, you know what? It is not my finest metaphorical hour.
But you're, but, listen, I can see that you're struggling to understand any of this. And so I get it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
I think something you just said is actually important. I think that's what you're getting at in terms of shoveling out certain things. One thing that I don't like the optics of is that Matt Harvey is reputed to be, and I don't know the guy, but he doesn't have a great reputation in the clubhouse. I mean, forget all the partying and all that stuff, whatever. I don't have a whole lot of interest in what players do away from the field if they're performing on the field, but he doesn't have a great reputation as a teammate. Flip side, Devin Mesoraco has a superb reputation. I've never heard a bad word about Devin Mesoraco. So, I mean, you know, is it worth taking that chance on that lottery ticket?
Yeah, Matt Harvey has the reputation as being kind of a jackwagon.
Surely he's not a jackwagon,
Jason. I think he is. Did you see how I kept it family friendly there, Chad?
Oh, that was sort of family friendly. That's just like talking about shoveling stuff.
You know, I think small children know that horses poop.
And that's right. Yes.
So,
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm past the point of giving this front office the benefit of the doubt. They've just shown me over and over. They're making decisions that I just don't understand. And I don't think they are acting. I don't think their behavior demonstrates, that they have any belief at all in what they're telling us, which is that we're close to turning the corner. And so I can see how people will be frustrated by this looking like we're dealing with some other team's problem now.
Honestly, what this trade tells us is that right now there are at best three pitchers in the organization that they genuinely value, starting pitchers. And it's Molly and Castillo and Romano.
Oh, I think that's absolutely evident. But you know,
if you're adding Matt Harvey, then it's saying that you think that whatever chance you have of flipping him at the trade deadline is going to yield you more results than trying to develop any of the other pitchers that are available to you. And I mean, I'm not saying I disagree with the exception of Amir Garrett, but
it's exactly what I was going to ask you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave Amir Garrett aside. It's not unreasonable for the Reds to take that position about, you know, Cody Reed or Robert Stevenson or Brandon Finnegan, is it?
Yeah, no, it's totally not unreasonable. Like it's a completely reasonable position. And, you know, I made an argument on Twitter, I think it was last night, and I stand by this, that this season, it's time for the Reds to spend money. I don't care if it's acquiring somebody via trade. I don't care if it's signing free agents, but there are going to be some really excellent free agent pitchers available, and the Reds should buy themselves one.
This offseason, and this is a conversation I thought that we would have after the season's over, and I'm sure we will.
So not in May?
I didn't think we would in May. That's for certain. This offseason, if the Reds do not very visibly show us that they are trying to improve, and they did not give any evidence of that last offseason. I don't think anyone can argue that they did. If they don't show us very obvious evidence that they are seriously trying to make this team better, Jason, I think I may be done. And not that I'm going to hate them or going to, you know, quit, you know, sort of following their scores or whatever, but it's going to be awfully hard to get interested in writing about them every day and podcasting about them. And
I mean, listen, this is what I'm going to say. Are you ready for this, Chad?
I don't think I am.
It's a good one.
I don't think I'm ready for it.
I think you, well, here it comes anyway. If the Reds don't genuinely try, then I think we need to change the blog and just make it entirely Joey Votto and A. Eugenio Suarez coverage.
Votto Geno Nation.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm up for it. And then we'll, that's all we'll talk about on the podcast is Joey Votto and A. Eugenio. Maybe a little Jesse Winker thrown in there.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, Joey and Gino, they're so delightful. They're so filled with verve.
They're just, yes, easy to root for, those guys.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm in.
We'll root for them, and we'll say forget it with the whole rest of the organization.
Well, there's one other guy I think we should talk about. Come on. You can, admit there's one other guy, right?
Well, I mean, there is that pitcher they gave up last year.
They're going to get him back.
You think?
Oh,
what's his name again?
Oh, let me think. Hold on. Liselberto Bonilla. So ridiculous. And we had to work it in. And you picked up on my cues this time. I appreciate that, Jason.
You're welcome. I'm learning.
You're getting there. But emergency podcast to discuss a Matt Harvey, Devin Mesoraco trade. And, of course, we got to work in our old buddy.
Say it loud, Chad. Say it.
Liselberto Bonilla. Oh, man. With my ridiculous accent, that sounds even more exotic or something. El gringo. So anyway, listen, here's the way I put it. And, you know, this is probably the least hot take you're ever going to find on the interwebs. But when it comes to this Matt Harvey, Devin Mesoraco trade, it's I wouldn't have made the trade. I wouldn't guarantee him a spot in the rotation, even if the trade were made. But I don't know. I think it's worth buying that lottery ticket, because Mesoraco was a sunk cost and we're not going to get anything from him. If you're only blocking Finnegan, then whatever. I can't get worked up over it. Maybe it'll turn into something.
Maybe. Yeah.
I know.
I don't understand, Chad. I need the Reds to do a thing that I... Okay, here, I will say this. This is what I will say. I might have said this on the podcast recently, or I might have just shouted about it on Twitter. So if I'm repeating myself, listeners, forgive me. But as much as we like to say, and I'm among them, that sometimes the Reds know things that we don't know, I can look at other organizations... successful organizations, and I understand why they do what they do without having to know all of the things that they know.
Mm-hmm.
And I often find myself thinking, I don't understand why you are doing this, and that you must know some secret information only carries me so far. Like, if they know secret information that tells them that in tomorrow they should expect Adam Duvall to start hitting 330, then cool. Awesome baseball wizardry, but
Blarg, is it?
Blarg. Blarg is the word, Dad.
I think you're right. I mean, we do assume that they know something that we don't, and in most cases I'm sure they do. That's not a sort of cover for every decision.
Yeah.
There are some decisions that have been made that are just inconceivable.
Yeah, like when it comes to which of our large stable of young starting pitchers do we throw out there and which do we keep in AAA, I'll trust them on that.
Yes.
It's a lot of things. There are a lot of variables going on there. But when it comes to do we bat the young guy who can hit or the old guy who can't?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only sound, blarg. Like, no. No.
Yeah.
You always start Jesse Winker every day. Every day you play Jesse Winker until he gives you reason to believe that he should not play every day.
He's not started, I think, 5 of the last 12 games, something like that.
Yeah.
Jesse Winker.
Yeah, it's...
The question I keep asking, is this a rebuild or isn't it?
Yes.
The Harvey deal gives no indication that they're in the middle of a rebuild. Not that it necessarily should, but it's, you know, until we logged on and started talking here tonight, Jason, it really didn't occur to me how much this looks like a desperate Jim Bowden type. Let's take a flyer on someone. And that hurts me the more I think about it, because that's the way the Reds operated during that decade that they were sort of in the wilderness. Before that 2010 championship. And on the heels of doing absolutely nothing to improve the roster in the offseason? Ooh. I'm concerned. Individually, I like a lot of the people that work for this organization, but I'm really concerned about the decision-making over the last 6 months or so, since the end of last season.
Yeah, I agree. And I need the Reds to do something that's not going to make me angry. Like, I need them to throw, like, eight piles of money at, like, Dallas Keuchel or something.
Is that really your standard? I need the Reds to do something that's not going to make me angry.
That's where we are, Chad.
Is that what this has devolved to?
That is the place in which we have arrived.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I cannot believe we are here right now. I can't believe that this is where this quote-unquote hashtag rebuild, I can't believe this is where we've landed. In an off-season, and I'm not one for advocating that a team go out necessarily and spend a ton of money on the free agent market, usually. But in a year where the free agent market was as soft as it's ever been.
Yeah.
When the Reds just had to try to pick up, go get a pitcher. That's what we said at the end of last season. Go get one pitcher. Get one pitcher, maybe work out a trade for a shortstop or a center fielder or something. That's all. Those guys were available. Yep. Christian Yelich, however you say his name. But just one pitcher. I'm not even asking for an ace. Go get one reliable pitcher that you can sign for the next 4 years to be in the middle of this rotation as the red young guys sort of coalesce around him.
Yeah.
And they couldn't even do that. And then they tell us they're expecting to turn the corner and they're going to have urgency. And here we are at 8-27.
Well, and let's make sure we're clear. They could have done that. They just didn't.
That's a fact. And it's because they didn't. They told us they thought they were ready to turn the corner, but no one in that organization, there's no evidence that anyone actually believed it. Or else they would have gone and gotten that guy.
Listen, and I try always to admit when I was wrong. But have I or have I not been saying for better than a year that any organization would be foolish to count on Bailey, Finnegan, and DeSclafani as genuine pieces of the rotation? And was I right?
Oh, yeah. You said, I remember you saying you're going to count on those guys as one starter. If we can get one starter's worth of, one season's worth of starts out of all three of them combined, then we'll be lucky. Right. Prescient. It was prescient.
And yet here we are, and you know what? The Reds could really use like one or two good starting pitchers.
Yeah.
Whoever could have foreseen it? I don't know. Some dude who writes for a blog.
That's you. You're some dude that writes for a blog. Yeah, if you can see that, they had to be able to see it. And especially given the fact, I want to give these starts to the young pitchers. I want to give as many as we can. And I'm okay with people sort of being dismayed by the Matt Harvey trade because it may take some starts away from even Brandon Finnegan, who is still a young pitcher and still has some potential. I've never given up on him as a starting pitcher, and I still haven't. I think he needs to be starting at Louisville right now. But if you can get a guy that can be dependable, and I don't know who this guy is. I didn't examine the free agent market that close last year. I'd rather him trade for a guy like Chris Archer if possible. Start dealing some of that minor league depth and get some players in here. But if you could have one dependable pitcher, this rotation all of a sudden starts looking a lot better. I'm okay with Castillo's struggles and Malley's occasional struggles, but generally pretty good. And Romano occasionally struggled, but pretty good. They're young pitchers. I'm okay with giving those guys every start they can because they've shown that they can be starting pitchers for the long term.
Yes.
Would it have killed the Reds to have one guy this year? Are the Reds going to be in the playoffs with just one pitcher signed? No. I think they'd be in a lot better shape, though.
They would. It wouldn't hurt so much to watch. This really, that really is what it comes down to, yeah. Is it just wouldn't be so bad. And right now, it's bad.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't hurt so much to watch, especially when the other teams in the division all tried to get better. Maybe the Pirates didn't. But most of the teams that are the Reds' peers in this division actively tried to get better. The Reds had no interest whatsoever in getting better from last year to this year. I'm willing to listen to an argument that they did have an interest in that. I think they hoped they'd be better. I think they hoped that the pitchers would be better. I think by the end of the year, the team at the end of the year could be a lot better than the team that was on the field last year. The record's not going to reflect it.
No.
But I think they were just hoping. And it's a ridiculous way to run a Major League franchise.
Yes.
Now you've got me upset. You've got me upset, Jason.
I'm sorry, Chad. I'm very sorry. It's upsetting.
It is.
It's, you know... And so I've started writing this thing, and I'll for Friday on Red Leg Nation, I'll go ahead and give away a little of it.
Are you talking about redlegnation.com, Jason?
Redlegnation.com, yes. The home of where we write about Reds and their legs.
Every day we write about them, no matter how miserable they are. Anyway, what are you going to talk about on Friday, Jason?
And so, okay. So one of the drums I have started to beat loudly, because it kind of started simmering for me when the Marlins sold for $1 billion. That's not hyperbole.
Right.
What, and
is this the same Marlins that gutted their franchise of all good players and still took 2 out of 3 from the Reds in Cincinnati this week?
That's the same Marlins. Okay. They were purchased by Derek Jeter and his entourage for $1 billion.
Right. $1 billion.
Yes. And, you know, we all grew up, you and I certainly did, grew up in the time of every major league owner, except for whoever owned, like, the Yankees, which is to say Steinbrenner, complaining about how they couldn't afford this or they couldn't afford that and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, even Castellini came in and said, I'm going to run it basically, you know, like a nonprofit. Like, I'm going to put everything back into it that we get. But here's the thing. The Marlins just sold for $1 billion, which was like something like 4 or 5 times what Loria paid for them not that long ago. And the player share of the revenue has declined from 55% to 40% over the last decade and a half. That's some pretty strong circumstantial evidence to me, among other things, that major league teams are making money hand over fist. And correspondingly, I am completely uninterested in hearing about what teams think they can or cannot afford. What I am very interested in is teams trying to win. And I see no reason, and I would have to see books to convince me otherwise. Like, I would have to see their books. I see no reason to assume that the Reds cannot afford a $150 million payroll.
Oh, I think they can. I mean, I think they were in six-figure, or I guess seven-figure. Oh, actually, how many figures is that? Nine-figure.
That's nine, yeah.
Payroll.
The
last time they were competitive. The money's there.
But, you know, I mean, what does that mean? That means that if they want to this offseason, and I'm not joking, if they want to, they can probably be the high bidder for Bryce Harper if they want to.
Oh, no, I think there's no question about that. Now, they may operate at a deficit. They may not be able to operate, you know, the business at a, you know, break-even point. But when the, you know, but still the value of the franchise is going way, way up every single year.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, the thing to me is if the franchise value is going up that much, then you have to assume that they are making large amounts of profit.
There's got to be a reason it's going up. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't have any idea.
I mean, skyrocketing.
Yeah.
Like, not like going up with the rate of inflation. No. Like, it's insane. You know, it's going up like college tuition. I mean, like.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I'm happy to be, you know, proved wrong, but. Convince me.
Well, listen, it's easy to spend other people's money. But I want to spend Bob Castellini's money this offseason. The Reds have got to do something. They got to make a splash. And I'm not talking about, oh, we traded for a guy that made an all-star team once. That's what the Reds did tonight, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a serious splash to get a real player or more, or a huge trade to bring in real talent and show that you're serious about competing. That's what I'm expecting from this team. And I don't know. I've sort of lost faith that we're going to see it. I can't believe I've lost faith.
I will echo to you that it is easy to spend other people's money, but it's my money is money I have actual control of, and I don't have nearly as much of it as Bob Castellini does. But when it comes to my entertainment money, I decide how I spend it, and I don't want to spend it to go see a lousy baseball team that the owner is not trying to make better.
Let me just echo that, because I agree 100%. You know, there are fewer people on earth outside of the Reds organization that think about the Reds and write about the Reds and talk about the Reds more than you or I do. The last two weekends that the last two home weekends that the Reds were playing at home, I had free weekends, had nothing going on. Those were weekends in the past where 100% of the time, just about, I'm hanging out at Great American Ballpark.
Yeah.
It's rare that I have a weekend where we don't have anything going on. You know, the kids and all that.
So here's a question for you. So I assume that you have watched some of the Reds games on TV and seen the dozens of fans in the stands.
At least dozens.
And let me ask you a question. When your average fan buys a single ticket, counting the cost of the ticket, like the face value of the ticket, and then, like, you know, their beer or their hot dog or their soda or whatever, how much money do you think that person sends to the Cincinnati Reds organization?
I don't know. I don't have any idea.
Just throw a number at me.
$100 a person. I don't know.
For one game?
Well, you buy a ticket. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Depends on where you're sitting, I guess.
I'm gonna cut that in half.
Okay. $50.
All right. So,
I guess I just revealed that I sit in the expensive seats.
If the Reds are a really good team,
it's all this blog money I'm spending.
And say their attendance goes up from the like 11 that it is right now to about 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And each fan spends an average of $50 a game. That is $121,500,000.
Is that actual math?
That's actual math.
You're a math teacher, right?
I am an English teacher.
Oh, yeah. Forgot.
But I took calculus in high school, so I'm qualified.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Why don't they? And it's just, I don't know. I assume that this is driving Castellini up the wall. I sure hope it is. And I really hope that he goes to Williams at the end of the season and is just like, here's the checkbook. Go get it done.
I hope so. That's exactly where I was going with what I was saying. When you lose guys like me and you, and literally two straight home weekends where I was just like, I'm not doing it. I'm not making that commitment to go and spend $50. whatever. I have kids that like to eat, and we spend way too much when we go to the ballpark. But I would be there. I love going to Great American Ballpark. It's a great stadium. It's always fun every time I'm there. I am just, and I'm not like I'm boycotting him. I'm still watching him on television. I pay for MLB.tv. You know, I'm still writing about him and talking about him. But I've sort of made the choice that if they don't care enough to put the best 25 guys on the field or on the roster, and if they don't care enough to acquire guys that are going to help, that are going to improve this team and make actual progress towards being competitive again, then I've just got better things to do. And it's a money thing, part of it. And part of it's just a, you know, they don't care, so why should I? And well, clearly I care way too much, but that's where I am.
If you think about it, you know, both of us are within striking distance of Cincinnati where we live, but it's an inconvenience, right? It takes some effort to get there.
Exactly.
And, you know, even if you're in the city, it still requires like a time commitment, you know, and again, it's an expenditure and all of that. But, you know, it's one thing to have the game on at home, kind of in the background while you're kind of putzing around the house, you know, and maybe you see something good and maybe it's fun. And if you don't, it doesn't ruin your night. But when you're dedicating, you know, if you're there for the whole game, which I don't go to a baseball game and not be there for the whole game.
Exactly.
You know, you're really dedicating 4 or 5 hours of your day, at least, to what? Watch a baseball team that stinks and that you know stinks and that you don't really have a tremendous hope that you're going to see anything all that good. Am I doing that to go watch Brandon Finnegan pitch right now? No. Should I do that to watch Matt Harvey pitch either?
Yeah, no, I agree. I was up there. My son and I, we came up there to the first, weekend home series this season. Had a free weekend. Unexpectedly, one of my son's ball games got canceled. And so we said, hey, let's go. That's what we do. That's what we do. That's our thing. We got a free weekend. Let's go watch the Reds. It was fun. Yeah. And then it became pretty clear that this team just taking me for granted. I mean, you know, it's not that personal. It's not a betrayal or anything, but I don't know. I don't see a commitment from them. And so it's like you said, it takes a little, it's not a great time commitment on my part to go to Cincinnati and watch a game or two, but it is a commitment and I'm just not willing to do it anymore. Not until they show me that they're serious.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I am. I mean, let's get real, guys. Let's, you know, do what rational fans can look at you and see is the reasonable and rational thing to do.
It's been a long time since I felt like this. I mean, really, Jason, I keep coming back to when the Reds have lost Jason Linden and Chad Dotson. And I talked about this with Doug Gray when he was on, because he's about the same way. You know, when they've lost us, you know, what are they doing to the casual fan? Well, that's why they had 9,000 fans at one game. One of those games, I saw the stands and they compared it to, they had that X number of fans fewer than Xavier had in their last home basketball game. I mean, you know.
Let me tell you something. I go to a lot of minor league games, as I think people know, and they are often sparsely attended, to say the least, because it's a minor league game and mm-hmm. that's just kind of how it is. But the Reds have been rivaling the bats lately in terms of the actual stands and the fans. Fans in the stands. Let's put it that way.
Well, the Reds are kind of a minor league team, so. It's funny that Matt Harvey refused to go to the minors for the Mets, and then he got traded to the minors. That's not funny at all. Can we talk quickly about Devin Mesoraco before we finish up here, Jason?
Yeah, good luck, Devin.
Good luck, Devin.
You know, we hold nothing against Devin Mesoraco. He was a great friend to us and just, by all accounts, an absolutely stand-up guy. I hope that, you know, he gets it together in terms of his career and ends up having a solid major league career like it looked like he might have. It's just one of those things that didn't work out.
You know, and it's sort of heartbreaking to me. And I know people are going to say, heartbreaking? He signed this multi-million-dollar contract and he had 316 plate appearances after he signed it. Don't cry for him. Well, I'm not crying for him. But he's done nothing but work his butt off for the Reds. Injuries robbed him of the career he should have had. And, you know, he's been on the podcast here a couple times. And I don't know if you know this, but we talked a little bit to him in the offseason about coming on again and couldn't get it worked out this spring to talk to him again on the podcast. He's just always been so nice to us. And I've never, never heard a bad word about the guy. And I'm going to miss him. I wish he could have had the career that we expected that he would have. It's sad. And I will, like you said, I'm going to be rooting for him to maybe recover at least a little bit of the career that he could have had wherever he goes. And I hope he's somewhere for the next, you know, 5-7 years. I hope he lands somewhere because, you know, if he has a little pop in his bat and he shows he can stay healthy, he can be a backup catcher. But he's going to be one of my favorites no matter where he is down the road.
Yep.
And you know why I liked him initially? I got to mention it again. You know, he committed to play baseball for the University of Virginia, my beloved University of Virginia Cavaliers. Oh. Did you know that?
Wahoo!
See, that's all you say. Every time I mention Virginia, you're just like, all right, whatever. Wahoo! Shut up, Dotson.
Is that how it's pronounced? Wahoo!
Wahoo! Yes.
Wahoo!
That good old song of Wahoo!
I never heard it out loud because I went to Washington University in St. Louis. I did not go to the University of Virginia.
Okay. Two things. Number one, the good old, you've never heard the good old song of Wahoo Wah?
I have not.
Virginia's fight song? All right, that's the first thing. That's ridiculous that you've never heard the worst fight song in the history of any college. The second thing is, let's just point out to all of our listeners, when you're trying to decide whether or not to trust Jason, he went to college in St. Louis. That's where the Cardinals are from. Are you a stealth Cardinals fan, Jason Linden?
I am not a stealth Cardinals fan. I assure you very much.
Well, you went to a good school, even though it was in St. Louis. So
it was a pretty good school.
Yeah, oh, very good school. Absolutely. So, all right. Well, I guess the final thing about the way I would describe our reactions to the Matt Harvey, Devin Mesoraco trade, for you, it's what? And for me, it's nah. Does that sum it up, or you
that,
have it different?
I think that is perfect. I could not say it better.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This Reds team. Is it too late for us to become like a blog of for a different team and a podcast for a different team? Is it too late for that?
They've at least got me until Joey Votto retires. At that point, I'm a free agent.
There you go. Yeah, we're 207 episodes into this podcast, so I guess we'll keep talking about Joey Votto Nation, Eugenio Suarez Nation, I guess. All right, this is Red Leg Nation Radio. As I said, this is episode number 207. We are, I don't know, mentally ill or something to keep talking about the Reds for this long, but we still do it, and we still have fun doing it. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher. You can find us wherever you find podcasts. We're there. Leave us a rating and a review. Seriously, if you go to iTunes, I'd really appreciate it if you go to iTunes and leave us a review. I need to start saying this at the beginning of the podcast because nobody's listening at this point. But leave us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate it. While you're at it, go leave a 5-star review on Amazon for the Big 50, the men and moments that made the Cincinnati Reds. That's a book that I wrote with Chris Garber that's now on bookshelves and bookstores everywhere. You can find us at Red Leg Nation on Twitter, at redlegnation.com, every single day where we're talking about the Reds, for good or for bad, and usually bad. But still, we're there, obsessed with the Cincinnati Reds, along with a great community that follows us, follows the team every single day. You can find Jason on Twitter at Jason Linden. I'm at Dotson C. If you have questions for the podcast, comments, anything, send them to me at chaddotson@redlegnation.com. Jason, buddy, I appreciate you carving out some time to do an emergency episode of the podcast in the wake of this big, massive trade. Any final thoughts?
Blarg.
Blarg, says the man. For Jason Linden, this is Chad Dotson saying blarg.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.